Welcome to Tim Friedman 70s Rock Conversations. I'm your host, Tim Friedman, along with Frank Ost, our fellow rock and roll expert and fellow Clevelander. How are you today, Frank?
I'm great.
We're wrapping up season four already. Season four.
Incredible.
And Stevie Wonder is going to be our featured artist.
That's right.
We'll be talking all about Mr. Wonder before too long. Today in rock history, January 31st, 1957, Decca Records announced that Rock Around the Clock, you know, Bill Haley and the Comets, had sold over 1 million copies in the UK, mostly in the 10-inch 78 version.
Oh, really?
I didn't know wow. they did that, but I guess they did.
Still in the 78s.
1969, Bobby Darin walked off the stage on the Jackie Gleason show when he wasn't allowed to perform the song Long Line Rider. Maybe because Jackie couldn't pronounce the tongue twister of the title. Maybe. 1970, Grateful Dead were busted. Imagine that.
Hard to believe.
In New Orleans for possession of LSD and barbiturates, the event is believed to have been the inspiration for their song Truckin'.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
1979, The Clash performed at their very first North American tour engagement, opening act, Bo Diddley.
Wow, what a pairing that is.
Wonder if he came on stage with The Clash afterwards. Doubtful.
Doubtful.
Barbara Cousel, 1985, the mom of the Cousels and the inspiration for the TV show Partridge Family, passed away at just 56 years old.
I was going to say, she must have been very young.
On that date, 1985. 3 years later, Herb Alpert played the national anthem at Super Bowl XXII. That was Washington and Denver. The highlight of the Super Bowl for the Broncos was the performance from Herb Alpert because the game wasn't very good for them. It ended at 42-10. Chubby Checker, the halftime entertainment.
Good grief.
That was an interesting pairing. It was just before they kind of ditched the Mike Curb congregation and Up With People and,
yep.
and the local Al Hurt type of stuff mm-hmm. if it was in New Orleans and in favor of Michael Jackson and bigger shows, a bigger
yeah,
stage.
Yeah, much bigger were to come, yes. definitely.
1998, Yanni set the gross revenue record for the MCI Center in Detroit with a total gross of $860,000. The record was broken just 6 months later by Janet Jackson.
Okay.
Funny story about Yanni. I was at a show of his at Playhouse Square. I think it was at the Palace Theater. So my wife and I had really good seats. We were like third or fourth row because I was kind of into Yanni back then. I'm into those things. And so he's staring at my wife the whole time. Yes, Yanni's a good-looking guy.
Really?
You know? Got the mustache and long, flowing black hair, the white.
Can see you're very much into him.
Yeah. So I'm watching the show, and by about the intermission, I'm starting to get upset. Like, I'm looking, what is going on here? He keeps staring at my wife. Turns out, at intermission, I turn around, it's Linda Evans, his girlfriend.
Oh, jeez, okay.
Directly behind us. So we had better seats than her.
Absolutely. But, that's really impressive.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't jump on stage or something. 1999, Cher sang the national anthem at Super Bowl 32. That was the Denver-Atlanta. Boy, Denver's had, up until... Now, they won that Super Bowl.
Right.
But exactly. They had some bad time.
Yeah, Super they Bowl. Had, when they were beating us, they were getting beat.
Yeah. Kiss did the pregame. Our featured artist this week, Stevie Wonder, was the halftime show entertainment. So, one long until the Michael Jacksons of the world. And that would be follow up in 1999, you know, by Paul McCartney and The Who and The Stones and everybody else.
That's right.
2001, it was announced that Kiss drummer Peter Criss had officially left the band. His final show was actually back in October. The year before, but in 2001, Peter Criss left Kiss, and I did not know that.
And I was in mourning for weeks.
Me too. Even in the afternoon. Zane Grey was born on this date in 1872, the American author and dentist. He wrote those adventure stories about the frontier, the Old West.
Sure, you know. Yeah.
1914, boxer Jersey Joe Walcott was born. Jackie Robinson, born on this date, 1919. Mario Lanza, the American tenor, actor, Hollywood film star. I thought he was from Italy, but no. He was born in 1921. Ernie Banks. No, that's
Mr. Cub.
Let's play
yeah,
two.
Sure.
Passed away 7 years ago, just before his 84th birthday. Suzanne Plachette, remember the wife on the Bob Newhart show? Died in 2008. That was just before her 71st birthday. So
yeah, she kind of had that gravelly voice.
Yeah, she
yeah,
did. Yeah. Terry Kath of Chicago, born in 1946. As you know, there's not mm-hmm. a lot of rockers that I'm talking about unless you want to talk about Harry Wayne Casey. Casey and the Sunshine Band, he's turned 71 today. Johnny Rotten was born in the state in 1956. And Justin Timberlake is 41 today.
Wow. So Johnny Rotten's was the same age I was.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Sharing a birthday with Justin Timberlake and Casey. All right, Frankie, some good concerts coming up in March. Things are kind of quiet right now, and with COVID, hopefully things will still go ahead as scheduled.
That is for sure.
March 4th, Marshall Tucker Band will be at the MGM Northfield Park Center Stage. Hotel California Tour, The Eagles, March 17th. It's a big hit so far, all throughout the country and the world, really. They're going to play the entire Hotel California album, take a little break, come back, and play some of their greatest hits. Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, Thursday, March 17th. That sounds like St. Patrick's Day to me. Tower of Power, the same night out at the MGM Northfield Park. Then in April, you have Ambrosia with John Ford Coley scheduled at the Akron Civic Center on the 21st. Come May the 7th at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse again, Journey with special guest Toto on Saturday, May the 7th. And one just announced a while back, Al Stewart with Empty Pockets will be performing at the Kent Stage Wednesday, May 18th. All right, Frankie, Spotlight Year is returning as we turn the corner and turn the page, 2022 now, and
that's
this
right.
is our final episode of Season 4. So we'll bring our Spotlight Year back as Season 5 approaches, and right now we're going to talk about 1975. That's one of my favorite years of rock.
Me
year
too. What a great one.
As you said, that's the year everybody came out, because 74, I think they were probably on tour, these groups, or getting ready to release something. Or maybe they just didn't want to compete with Billy Don't Be a Hero.
I don't know, but for whatever reason, there wasn't much that came out that was much to write about in 74.
You have some great albums to talk about in a
Absolutely.
Minute. Now, our breakthrough artists, Manilow, Mandy, and Could It Be Magic?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one.
You know, Captain and Tennille, Love Will Keep Us Together, The Way I Want to Touch You, Casing the Sunshine Band, Get Down Tonight, and That's the Way, Uh-Huh. 10cc, I'm Not in Love, that's like the song of the summer, along with One of These Nights, or The Hustle, Listen
sure.
What the Man Said. Minnie Riperton's I'm Loving You, you know, Loving You, makes sense, you're beautiful. So it wasn't without its schmaltz and soft rock, but that's okay. Queen, Killer Queen, breakthrough artist, they had
Absolutely.
A couple of albums out, but this is the first time I heard a Queen, and that was a great song. Styx, Tavares, Leo Sarah, and Natalie Cole all kind of made their breakthrough that year. I know Styx 2 came out with Lady. You know, so that means they had Styx 1, which nobody really heard of.
Exactly.
So the first time I heard of Dennis DeYoung and Styx was with Lady and Styx 2 in 1975. Don't have the album, though. Kind of wish I did. No, I'm okay if I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what you got? You got some good albums there.
Well, I was thinking, you know, it seemed like what we said was that 74, everybody took the year off, and then 75, they just jumped on it. But I went through a list and came up with some records here that, obviously, these are groups that were either at top of their game or damn near it. Red Octopus by Jefferson Starship.
Sure.
Main Course by the Bee Gees. This was an actual dance rock album.
It really put them on the map again, too.
It sure did. And Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen obviously broke him wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamboat Annie by Heart, their debut. Terrific album that everybody was listening to. Another one that kind of broke a group wide open was Alive by Kiss, their first live album. Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Face the Music, Electric Light Orchestra. What a great album
Good
that
one.
Was. And, of course, Paul Simon had Still Crazy after all these years.
Yeah.
And, boy, that was just a tremendous hit. 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And oh, man.
And the title cut, remember he sang that on Saturday Night Live in a turkey outfit?
Absolutely. Blood on the Tracks by Bob Dylan was pretty much the first time I really got into him. Of course, Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin.
Oh,
you know,
that's a good
people
one.
People either say it's their first or maybe their second best album they ever did. Earth, Wind, and Fire had two great albums. That's the Way of the World and Gratitude that year.
Yeah.
And not to be outdone, Mr. Captain Fantastic himself, Elton John, had Captain Fantastic and Rock of the Westies.
Both
came
debuted
out.
At number one.
Yes,
exactly. That was unheard of back then, and he did it twice in a row.
Exactly. If we really first kind of heard from Aerosmith with Toys in the Attic. Another one, Fandango by ZZ Top. Of course, we just lost.
Yeah, we lost Dusty Hill,
late
last year. I think it was August.
Yeah, and but
July.
This kind of broke them open with Tush,
Tush,
the big hit.
Or
single.
Was it called Tush?
Venus and Mars.
Yeah, the Wings.
Oh,
yeah.
By Wings, and One of These Nights by the Eagles.
The more electrified Eagles.
Yeah, and it would get kind of swallowed up in the whole Hotel California thing, but that was a great album.
Now, I remember, to our listeners, Joe Walsh had not yet joined the band.
Exactly.
That would be with Hotel California, and I always thought that he was in the band when they became more electrified, but it wasn't. He wasn't.
Yeah, and this was a great record, and it's when they brought Don Felder online, and he was already giving them more of a rock sound, definitely.
Steely Dan and Katie Lied.
Oh, my favorite of all of the Steely Dan records is Katie Lied. I know a lot of people like Asia and some of the others, but boy, that was just a little chestnut from 75.
That was a good album,
wasn't it? Absolutely.
Bowie and Young Americans Fame, you know.
You can just keep going. Ambrosia's debut album broke that year. And, of course, another one, Straight Shooter. We talked about Bad Company a couple of times.
Yeah.
There again was Straight Shooter was a big one for them.
That's just scratching the surface.
Exactly. I mean, this was the kind of year it was. And like I said, it was hard to find great records in 74. They were dropping all over the place in 75.
You know, you could find singles in 74, Kung Fu Fighting, Night Chicago Died, but I'm not going to buy the whole album.
Heck no.
But Born to Run, Stampede by the Doobies, which would be Tom Johnston's swan song.
Yeah. The next time we heard from them would be with Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald a year later. Linda Ronstadt, you know, had some hits.
Oh, absolutely. She was probably...
she was as big as Olivia.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the Carpenters had a number one hit, Please Mr. Postman, and Only Yesterday, Solid Terror. 75 was a good year for them. The last year we really heard from the Carpenters, though, was that year. JT, How Sweet It Is.
Oh, fantastic stuff.
America, Sister Golden Hair, Daisy Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Some comeback artists. We talked about the Bee Gees, Sweet and Ballroom Blitz. Remember they ditched the Little Willie pop bubblegum stuff?
Yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel's My Little Town, Jefferson Starship, Miracles, Tony Orlando. Had a nice little comeback with He Don't Love You. That was number one. Four Seasons, Who Loves You. It was nice to hear from them again.
Yeah, yeah.
And Frankie Valli.
Fun song.
Yeah, and Frankie Valli had some great success with My Eyes Adored You, Swearing to God. Janice Ian from Society's Child from 67, I guess it was, came back in at 17. That's a sad song,
isn't
it?
It's a sad song, but it was a great little tune. Yeah.
And so true. Sugarloaf, Don't Call Us, We'll Call You. Hadn't heard from them since their number three hit, Green-Eyed Lady.
That's right.
A few years earlier. Hamilton, Joe Frank and Reynolds, Fallen in Love. There were some good stuff, some good comeback, if you will. It was only two or three years since we heard from Hamilton, Joe Frank and Reynolds. But at the time, that was a lot of years.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
We're hearing something from Elton
Especially
John every month.
Yeah, when you're hearing from some of these people on, you know, a yearly or even more than that.
What a year for Elton John.
Oh, incredible.
Goodness.
Because not only did he have those two albums out, but he also had some singles out that were just totally...
Philadelphia Freedom,
right.
Lucy in the Sky, Pinball Wizard. Surprise hits, You Are So Beautiful, Joe Cocker. What
That's
a
right.
beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. Neil Sedaka, Elton John teamed up for Bad Blood. Neil had joined the Rocket Record label
where
Elton John lived. Phoebe Snow and Poetry Man. LaBelle, Lady Marmalade. Number one.
That was a neat little single.
And Doobies, we talked about them on, I think, our first episode. Black Water was the B-side to Another Park, Another Sunday, but as DJs happen to do quite often, if the song wasn't performing well, they'd flip it over and see what was on the other side. Their promotional copy. Turned out it was Black Water, which went to number one 6 months later or so, early in 75.
It's hard to believe that that wasn't a single that they were thinking of putting out. That's
I know.
Just by accident goes to number one.
Because once it's on the B-side, they're not, unless it's a B-side hit like Calypso or something or some Guess Who did or CCR, they're not going to release that song if it's been on the B-side already.
Absolutely.
And so you would think, but Another Park, Another Sunday, like topped out at number 37 or something the previous summer. If it had done better, we probably would never have heard of Blackwater unless you flipped the single over.
Exactly.
Some early disco, Frankie.
Yeah.
Gloria Gaynor, Never Can Say Goodbye. Joe Tex and the Sexolettes, Get Dancing. Talked about Casey and the Sunshine Band. Ohio Players, Fire. Gwen McCrae, George's Wife, Rockin' Chair. Barry White, What Am I Gonna Do With You? Van McCoy's The Hustle.
Oh, yeah.
People were...
That's really kind of one of those that really broke disco wide open because...
Yeah, it really did.
Any dance place you went to, that's what you heard.
And he wasn't getting a lot of success, a lot of airplay with that song, but it was all the rage on these dance floors.
Sure was.
Finally gained traction. Joe Simon, get down on the floor.
Nice.
So this was long before Saturday Night Fever, but you could tell Robert Stigwood would do the main course album with the Bee Gees, and he wanted that kind of sound coming out of the Bee Gees, which was more, not orchestrated yet, but a good group behind them, a good beat to some of their songs.
Sure.
And pretty soon, You Should Be Dancing would be coming out.
That's right.
And then you have to start writing that movie sometime and getting that soundtrack together, right? Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be long until Saturday Night Fever, and then that just broke the door wide open in 77 and 78.
That's right.
Some great one-hit wonders. Major Harris, Love Won't Let Me Wait, Ace and How Long,
ah.
Jigsaw, Sky High.
I remember that very much.
Magic by Pilot, Run mm-hmm. Joey Run by David Geddes. Austin Roberts at Rocky, Walking in Rhythm by the Blackbirds. I like that song.
Oh, nice, yeah, that's tune. A nice one.
Morris Albert and that tearjerker called Feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites, One-Hit Wonders, Chevy Van by Sammy Johns, one of our very first One-Hit Wonders.
Sure, I remember that.
75 was a good year for singles. It was a good year for albums. I didn't see any concerts that year, but if you're a new album buyer like I was, or new to the Columbia Record Club for a penny or whatever, I was all over 75. I loved just about anything that was put out that year. And then you can really experiment with something by Jethro Tull or even Steely Dan, who I didn't really know about on their albums. I knew mm-hmm. their singles, but Kitty Lied was a really nice surprise.
Sure, absolutely.
And now you're listening to albums instead of just the singles and the B-sides.
Yeah, and you're really getting into the meat of the group.
Yeah. New segment, I like it. It's called Great Instrumentals from the years 1967 to 82, give or take. And you have a good one for me this time.
Ooh, absolutely.
Early 70s.
You better believe it. Little song called Out of Space by Billy Preston.
Yeah.
Billy Preston, as we all know, is a fantastic session musician. He played with live acts such as Little Richard, Sam Cooke, Ray Charles, Everly Brothers,
Sly and the Family Stone of the Beatles. Well, yeah, I heard about
the
them.
The Beatles, yeah. Maybe. Eric Clapton. Ever heard of the Rolling Stones? Yeah. Played live with all of those folks. Yeah. For this, he is being inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame for musical excellence.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had a successful solo career, believe it or not. And his first hit single was this number two song from 1972.
Mm-hmm.
To create the primary instrumental sound, Preston played a clavinet through a wah-wah pedal. The song was created by Preston improvising while calling out chord changes to the backup band. The song won the 1972 Grammy Award for Best Pop Instrumental Performance. A great tune. It would be one of the last 45s I would ever buy, as I was quickly changing my collection over to LPs.
Yeah, and I was still buying singles. I don't know if I purchased that one. I really liked it, though, but that I'm surprised that it didn't have something to do with space travel. Peaked at number two the week of July 8th, 1972, just behind Lean on Me. Houston, Texas native. He was a regular on the Shindig show in the 60s as well.
I believe it.
And I never saw Shindig. Did you see Shindig?
I did see Shindig a few times, but I don't remember anything about it than I remember it being on TV.
He had some great hits, too. Nothing from Nothing, Will It Go Round in Circles.
Yeah.
Good voice, too.
Definitely.
Mine is Stevie Wonder's Contusion. You'll find it on the Songs in the Key of Life album on side one. It's on the part with Love's in Need of Love Today. And it's a really good song. It's 3 minutes and 46 seconds. It's all instrumental. It was covered in 1995 on a CD by Najee, the jazz saxophonist, in his CD, which I have, called Songs from the Key of Life. Wonderful album. We talked about how Songs in the Key of Life would be one of the five I'd bring if I was going to be stuck in a desert island.
Sure.
And I had a record player.
Oh, it's a tremendous album.
Yeah, it is outstanding. So Contusion is one of my great instrumentals from that time of year. It's just before Sir Duke on the side. So if you're listening to the album or even CD, you'll know what I mean. It's a really nice little break, too, from I Wish and just the lyric.
And the hits.
And the hits, the lyric-dominated stuff. It's nice to have a little instrumental break in there, and I really, really like that song. Time for Download Discovery. You have a good one, Frankie. I love this album.
I love this album, and I love Harry Chapin. And it was he that put out an album called Greatest Stories Live. It was a double record set, if you remember those back in the day.
I still have it in my collection.
And so do I.
I'm not letting it go.
No way.
CD, too.
One of the regrets of my concert going life was not seeing Harry Chapin live.
Me too.
Fortunately for me, we have this great album recorded in 1975. This is a perfect stage for Harry's story songs, and having his brothers Tom and Steve in the band really adds to the hilarity.
Yeah, they were great musicians in their own right.
They sure were. And in fact, are still on the road today.
Oh, aren't they?
Just about the time I discovered Harry, we sadly lost him in a traffic accident in July of 1981.
Yeah.
And of course, he was on his way to play a benefit concert.
A benefit concert. I remember that well. I would love to have seen him in concerts. You know, these were recorded over a few nights at three venues in California.
Right.
And if you ever have a chance to call up any of his performances live on YouTube, I highly suggest it. He was such a great performer. You said many times that you like being entertained, walking out of there with your smile on your face.
Absolutely.
And just like, James Taylor and Jackson Browne, that was on way back last summer, they had that same feeling, that give and take with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's having fun. Everybody's leaving entertained. Taxi's on there, of course, WOLD.
And that's the funny thing, because those songs, almost every one of them has a tragic note to it.
Yeah.
And yet in concert, they became these fun things that the audience just couldn't get enough
they
of.
Out of here, Taxi.
You know, Cats in the Cradle's another one that's got that ironic ending to it.
And when you hear the beginning of Taxi on that live album, people mm-hmm. just go crazy. And they know he was going to play it. He couldn't not play it.
Exactly.
And they just go nuts. And the one I really like is Circle.
Oh, definitely.
Talk about a great, fun song. He has everybody, even session musicians. He's got guys from the road crew singing. One guy pulls himself out of behind the cello or something and has this unbelievable voice. It's sad that we lost Harry so young, but we still have that music, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
Mine is from the Bodines. Remember they had the theme song to Party of Five back in the 90s?
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is called Good Things. The band from Waukesha, Wisconsin also sang that theme, and they've been described as one of the most successful, best bands to come out of the Milwaukee area ever. The first track from their fourth studio album, released in March 1991. Not a typical alt song. It's certainly not electrified or techno or dance or anything. It's just a really nice song. I think you're going to like it. It's called Good Things by the Bodines. Bodeans.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Bodines. One hit wonder time, Frankie. Johnny Bristol, Hang On In There, Baby. I thought he would have more hits. He sounded a little like Barry White, sounded a little like Al Green or Lou Rawls. The American musician from Morgantown, North Carolina, wrote the song and produced it as a title track from his debut album. It peaked at number 8 on the Hot 100 on October 5th, 1974, number 2 on the R&B chart, number 3 in the UK and Canada, so it did very, very well.
Yeah.
Recording for the MGM label, which was big back then. Some of the other MGM label artists, Herman's Hermits.
Oh, yeah.
The Cowsills. The Monkees, no, they were on Cold Gems. The Osmonds, Coven, remember One Tin Soldier?
I do remember Coven.
Every Mother's Son, Lou Christie, and Connie Francis.
That's right.
I once had the pleasure, when I was at Easy 104, of introducing Connie Francis on stage at the Front Row Theater.
Very nice.
Got free tickets for the show, and I stayed, too. My wife and I both had a good time at the Connie Francis show. Here I am, 28 years old or something, but it was fun. His follow-up to Hanging In There, Baby, was You and I. It bubbled under the top 40, but could only make it to number 48 in the early part of 75. Don't know what happened to his career, but he was off to a promising start with that number 8 hit, wasn't
it? Sure was.
Move In by Brass Construction, the disco group formed in 1968, had a number 1 R&B hit, peaked at number 14 in the Hot 100 chart in the summer of 76.
Yeah, and I think they had a couple of platinum albums, too, if I remember correctly.
So, you know, it was number 1 on the disco chart for 4 weeks. It's actually a mishmash of stuff pared down from their original version, which was a 16-minute jam session.
Wow.
So they put it down to more palatable, I don't know, 4 minute and 36 seconds or whatever. Anyway, the follow-up called Hot Cha-Cha only made it as high as number 51 in early 1977. So Brass Construction had that song Movin', and then that was it for them.
That was it.
Two-hit wonder time, BT Express. I always got these guys confused with Brass Construction.
Sure.
They had Do It Till You're Satisfied, and they also had Express. Do It Till You're Satisfied was number 2 hit for this Brooklyn, New York R&B disco group. Went to number 2 a couple weeks in the fall of 1974. Remember BET Express, the Express. Not a bad song, kind of instrumental. Number four, In the Spring of 75.
That's right.
So yeah. The disco era was dawning, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Top five singles, week of January 31st, 1969. Number five was Sly and the Family Stone's Everyday People.
Oh, what a great tune. Yeah. Oh, my.
Young Holt Unlimited, Soulful Strut, and that might be one of my best instrumentals. I'm going to bring that by sometime. That was number four.
That's a good one.
Number three, I'm Going to Make You Love Me, Diana Ross and the Temptations.
Okay.
Tommy James and the Shondells, Crimson and Clover, if there was ever a song that that spelled 60s, late 60s, it was that one.
Yeah, and that's a definite psychedelic song.
Don't be surprised if that makes a comeback in that that segment sometime. And number one was Marvin Gaye's Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh, what a tremendous song done by, you know, the laid-back king himself. What a voice.
And that was just before, you know, he was having a little trouble with Berry Gordy and the label. So he started putting out some more introspective stuff with Mercy, Mercy Me and What's Going On with that fantastic album, which still was a couple of years away. The number one album, the White Album by the Beatles. Number one.
And it would, it would be for quite a while, I remember.
Rock releases the week of January 31st, 1972, Let's Stay Together. Good one. That was Al Green.
Great.
Jefferson Airplane's Surrealistic Pillow. Do you have that one?
No, I don't, but I remember, you'll remember this family, the McMahons had it when you used to go down in the basement. McMahons. They had it, and I always kind of wondered about it because, you know, of course, Grace Slick was on the cover. And,
yeah, and their father was pretty strict, too.
Absolutely.
The McMahons. Shout out to Barry and Colin. The rest of the McMahons, there had to be, what, nine of them?
Something like that.
Donovan's Mellow Yellow. James Taylor, Sweet Baby James.
Oh, beautiful.
And one of my favorites, Todd Rundgren's Something Anything. Neil Young's Harvest. Squeeze, Argy Bargy. Remember Squeeze?
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. I
did. Journey's Frontiers came out in 83. Genesis, A Trick of the Tail, 76. Rumors.
Oh.
That was February 4th, 1977. Okay. Seems to me they released Go Your Own Way ahead of it just to gain some
I think so too.
Traction. Yeah. The number one album, The White Album by the Beatles. Psychedelic versus pop. This is the week of February 18th, 1967. And I've got the number four song, down from number two the week before, the Australian folk pop group known as The Seekers.
That's right.
And Hey There, Georgie Girl.
If you've seen the movie,
yeah.
The black and white movie with what is it, Lynn Redgrave, I think, and James Mason.
And the guy driving around a little black MG or something on the wrong side of the road.
It just screams mid-60s movies, you know, from Britain.
That was number four. Absolutely. What do you have at number five?
Well, at number five was a little ditty called We Ain't Got Nothing Yet by the Blues Magoos.
You can picture that guitar.
The great riff is played on Vox Continental Organ. And don't blink because the song lasts an AM-friendly 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
That's perfect for Wixie. Featured artist Frankie Stevie Wonder, born Steveland Hardaway Morris. May 13th, 1950, so he's about to turn 72 years old.
Yeah, you'd think that he was older. You'd put him in that Beatles Stones age group, but he was much younger, as we know, when he first had that first hit.
Signed to Motown's Tamla Records, where he stayed for a long, long time at age 11. The single Fingertips came out when he was just 12, which led to his ensuing live album, The 12-Year-Old Genius, recorded in Chicago. You know who played both the studio and live versions with him, playing drums? Marvin Gaye. Stevie had four hits by the time he was 14.
Exactly.
Yester Me, Yester You, Yesterday, 1970, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. That one's at number three.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites is If You Really Love Me. You don't hear that a lot, but I love that song. It went to number eight in 1971.
Yeah.
Then, in 1973, he broke a streak. He had his first number one song in 10 years with Superstition. That started a huge streak for him,
but he hadn't had
a number one song for 10 years. Even though he was putting out all those great tunes.
And it's hard to believe because so many of them, you know, you know them right off the top of your head, you know.
You Are the Sunshine of My Life, also number one.
Sure.
Higher Ground, one of my favorites is Living for the City.
Oh.
What a great song.
What a fantastic song.
Yeah,
it's been That album, covered by many, too. Yeah.
Inner Visions, that album. Mm-hmm. Get your hands on that. That was one of my early Columbia Record Club
albums. Oh, absolutely.
Got to have that
Me
one.
Too.
And that song is just awesome. So is Don't You Worry About a Thing, 1974. You Haven't Done Nothing. Backing vocals by the Jacksons.
Song I love, Golden Lady.
Oh,
remember that one?
That's a good B-side. Sir Duke, I Wish, Isn't She Lovely? Mm-hmm. Another Star, Knocks Me Off My Feet. Summer Soft, Pastime Paradise, Contusion. That sounds like Songs in the Key of Life, doesn't it?
That's right.
All I Do, Rocket Love, Master Blaster from 1981's Hotter Than July.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was hot back then. Remember the song Someday at Christmas, which is way overplayed Christmas
time? Sure.
He recorded that way back in 1967. 17 years old.
Are you kidding me? 67.
Oh, we talked about this before, Frankie. He was involved in a bad accident. He was riding in a car, which hit a truck, the back of a truck, in August of 73 and left him in a coma for 4 days.
I never realized that.
So he came back strong, though.
But he sure did.
That's good, man. 1972, Music of My Mind, Talking Book, Where I'm Coming From 71, that featured If You Really Love Me. Fulfillingness's first finale. I'm not sure fulfillingness is a word, but...
And he took 75 off.
Yeah.
And, of course, famous Paul Simon quote was he won, still crazy after all these years, he won the Grammy and he thanked Stevie Wonder for not putting out a record that
right.
year.
But Elton John put out two. Inner Visions, of course. Songs in the Key of Life was just fantastic. It spent 11 weeks at number one, holding off A Night in the Town, Soaked Degrees, Song Remains the Same, second best-selling album of 1977, second best to only Rumors, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that does.
It's number four. Songs in the Key of Life is on the Rolling Stone magazine's greatest 500 albums of all time, from our list that came out just a couple years ago, and they're changing their list all the time.
They're always changing it, but certainly, I think on just about anybody's list, it would certainly find its way into the top 20, let's say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know the song Someone Your Love?
Mm-hmm.
1979,
oh,
Secret Life of
sure.
Plants. Hotter Than July, of course, came out in 81. In Square Circle. I love that album. That was 1986. Won for Best Male R&B Vocal Performance at the Grammys. So that's just some of them. That's just 1986. He's done, you know, the movie Rent, and he's up on the social causes and stuff, which is cool, but he's not in your face all the time. Like Jackson Browne isn't either. You know, he'll sing his quote-unquote protest songs, but I don't feel like Jackson Browne's in my face about it. Some artists... Barbra Streisand. You go to a show, you can get away from it.
And
But Stevie Wonder doesn't feel like that to me. I know he's got a certain way of thinking about things.
Oh, I'm sure,
but
yeah.
But I'm fine with that. And he plays great music, too.
Yeah, he does. And he's always been there for causes. And, you know, of course, he was very much involved in the Live Aid. And he's been involved his whole life. But
what a career he's had. What a career.
Yeah. What's funny is... I don't think of him as being blind.
No,
I
me
really
either.
Don't. I never. It's like the fifth thing that comes into my head when I think of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah,
because he's had such a great career and such great music that, you know, you really don't think of him that way.
I guess he was blind almost from birth, Frankie. I read that you know, he was born a few weeks premature, like 6 weeks premature.
Okay.
And he had an affliction that sometimes happens in the incubator, which I guess they get too much oxygen or something. Mm. And it made his eyes grow way too fast, and his retinas couldn't keep up with it. So he had two detached retinas, and that led to his blindness.
Oh, my God.
But it didn't stop him from becoming one of the best of all time. What a career he's had.
Oh, fantastic.
72 years old, and we can say only 72 because he's still... doing stuff.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear something new from Stevie Wonder. I don't think he's going to be touring, you know, anytime soon.
Exactly.
But you'll see him on certain causes, those kind of things on TV or whatever. And so maybe we'll still see or hear from Stevie Wonder before too long.
Yeah, let's hope so.
So season 4 is wrapping up. And that's it, Stevie Wonder. We're going to start a brand new season. Season 5, we're going to take a little break. I've noticed where our audience analytics, Frankie, that people are really listening. It's
great.
Gaining steam. That people are listening from all over the world. And thanks so much for your downloads, like India and Japan and Germany, UK, Mexico, of course, the United States. And the most listened to episode by far, is episode 1 of season 1.
Of course.
And the second most is episode 1 of season 2.
Okay.
So it tells me people are starting from the beginning. taking their time, going through it. Now, it's not like a soap opera where it carries over from one of the like Dynasty or something. Ready to go for season 5?
Absolutely.
Alrighty then, we're going to play highlights of season 4 next week, and then on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, we'll be back to begin a brand new season of Tim Friedman's 70s Rock Conversations, season 5, straight ahead. For Frank Ost, I'm Tim Friedman. We'll see you then.